Okay, reading from Art of Chanting, continuing with Chapter 8, Prayers in the Holy Name. And I just had a small section of Chapter 21, page 121. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Kali Yuga Patita Pavan Avatar, and his four associates, named in the Panchatattva Mantra, do not consider the offenses of fallen souls. Chanting the all-merciful Panchatattva Mantra before Japa blesses one with the competency, which means the ability, I guess, to chant the Maha Mantra without offense and attain the full benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. When one chants the Panchatattva Mantra, he also glorifies all the pure devotees of Lord Gauranga with the words Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So we should think, it's actually, as I said, we should be involved. We should be involved with whatever we do. So when we chant this Panchatattva Mantra, we should think, not only are we approaching these five Ashrayas, now we know a little bit more about the Panchashraya, but this phrase is also very significant. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So Vrinda means the group of, the collection of, the gathering of devotees of Gaur. So that means it means everyone in the Advaita Sampradaya, means everyone in Nityananda Sampradaya, means everyone in the Gadadhara Sampradaya. It means all the various branches of the Chaitanya tree of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. One of those branches is ISKCON, as Prabhupada mentions in Adi Lila. There are many branches of the Chaitanya tree. The main trunk, of course, is Lord Chaitanya, right? And one big branch is Nityananda, and one big branch is Advaitacharya, and one big branch is Gadadhara Pandit. And then some smaller branches coming off. There are unlimited smaller branches. One branch of the tree is ISKCON. ISKCON Ki Jai. One branch is Gaudiya Math. And one branch is this, that, the other thing. There's so many branches. So they're all, at least the bona fide and proper sampradayas, are all connected with the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So then it's all that, when we are saying Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, we can also remember Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Bhaktivinoda, Jagannath Das, and all the great devotees in our own parampara, Gaurakishore and all the devotees in the Shiksha parampara or Diksha parampara. Then we can remember Rai Ramananda and Srup Damodar and Vrindavanas Thakur and Krishnas Kaviraj and the six Goswamis and Haridas Thakur and any number of great devotees, and remembering them is very, very helpful. So this Gaur Bhakta Vrinda is a meditation. So before we chant Hare Krishna mantra in the morning, we chant Panchatattva, we should also consider, who are these Gaur Bhakta Vrinda? It's not just some name of a soap powder or something. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Saban. These are individuals, these are persons. These are actually individual acharyas and great well-wishers and great Mahabhagavats and liberated eternal associates, Nitya Parishads of the Lord. So we should think of some of them, the prominent ones, before we chant. Together with Sri Chaitanya, these compassionate acharyas of devotion bestow their causeless mercy upon a devotee and gradually purify his heart. On the platform of purity, one will automatically experience ecstasy in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There are offenses to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but there are no such considerations in chanting the names of Gaur Nityananda. Gaur Nityananda Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol. Therefore, if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but his life is still full of sinful activities, it will be very difficult for him to achieve the platform of loving service to the Lord. But if in spite of being an offender, one chants the holy names of Gaur Nityananda, he is very quickly freed from the interactions of his offenses. Srila Prabhupada's purport, Adi Lila, chapter 8, verse 31. That was kind of a summary of the how much mercy is coming from the Panchatattva. Now, this is page 125. Anyone has a textbook? I'm just special points I want to impress upon people. I mean, the whole book is important, but as far as this tape goes, this recording, this is the art of chanting Hare Krishna Sar, the essence of the book. So this is what we've been hinting at already. The prayers, praying to the six Goswamis and Lord Nisringadev and the Panchatattva, of course our Gurudev, that's the first prayer, beginning the morning. But these prayers are also very important because there's something that one learns later on in life, later on in devotional development, which is very much stressed in other sampradayas, Gaudiya sampradayas. And it's the principle of sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. I mean, I was here meeting some devotees and they were saying, oh, that you don't teach sambandha and this type of thing. Sambandha means what is your personal relationship with Krishna, which of course comes when you establish, when you get your siddhadeya, you realize your spiritual form, then there must be some relationship, service relationship, some specific service you will do. But this actual sambandha is meant to be cultivated from the very beginning of devotion. And Prabhupada is also directing us in that way. Because the beginning of sambandha is knowledge. You can't have a relationship with someone you don't know. Right? Think about it. Can you strike up a relationship with someone you don't know? Yes or no?
No.
No. No, if you don't, K-N-O-W. No. English is quite a language, right? It's a pretty crazy language. No, you have to know what you know. Don't know what you know. So we have sambandha. The beginning of sambandha is sambandha gyan. This is the foundation of bhakti or devotion, is to actually understand who I am. What is my identity? Of course, sambandha gyan in the beginning, Bhagavad Gita is sambandha gyan, because it teaches panchatattva, five truths. These are the five tattvas that we have to know. What are the five tattvas of Bhagavad Gita?
Karma.
Hindi karma. Karma and dharma and Arjuna. In Sanskrit they say karma, dharma and Arjuna. Karma, dharma and Arjuna. Karma tattva, Ishvara tattva, Jiva tattva, Prakriti tattva, Kala tattva. So this, if one understands these subjects, because one of those subjects is me. One of those five subjects is you. Which one? Jiva. Jiva tattva. This is the truth about you, the truth about me. And then the truth, and who am I trying to strike a relationship with? Ishvara, Bhagavan. So therefore, it's the truth about me, Jiva, and the truth about you, Ishvara. So when we know the truth about each other, I know you, and you know me. And if we know each other, then we can strike up a relationship, right? This is basic. So if you want to have a relationship with God, which is sambandha, which ultimately will become prem sambandha, that will be the necessity. The culmination will be prem. Prem sambandha, relationship of prem. And at that level of sambandha, then you know your spiritual form. It's the specifics of your spiritual form and your individual seva to Krishna and Radha in the spiritual world. So that's the final point of sambandha. The final point of development of sambandha is to realize your eternal loving relationship with Krishna in his eternal form in a particular sthayibha and your eternal form, which will be revealed at the platform of Bhava. But before we get to that final point of sambandha in love, then there must be sambandha in gyan. Sambandha gyan. How can you love someone you don't know? So know means knowledge, right? First you know somebody, and then you know about their qualities. You know about their guna, right? When you know somebody, what do you know about them? You know about their rupam? She looks good, right? That's called knowing about their rupam. And then you get to know them and talk to them, and she has good qualities. You get to know her guna, her gun. or guna. You get to know her qualities. So that's rup. You have knowledge of her rup, knowledge of her gun. And then you have her name. She has so many names. Pipi and Bupu and, you know, all kinds of names, official names and unofficial names. You know, birth name, names that her father calls her, names on her birth certificate, the names you give her, honey pie, honey bunch, whatever. So now you know her name, you know her form, you know her qualities. And then if it all seems good and you like what you know, then there's some pastimes. you start acting together. Of course, it is an act. In the material world, it's not Leela, it's not pastimes, it's acting. It's play acting, it's all drama, false drama. But at any rate, so this is the progression. But that sambandha, and that becomes very thick. Finally, it becomes very, very tight, condensed and thick relationship between the man and the woman. And that's the final point of their sambandha. Their sambandha is called prem sambandha. So you understand the logic of it? You know everything about their body, everything about you know everything about their name, their form, their qualities, and you have so many activities together. Their form means their body. So then your relationship of love, your sambandha, your prem sambandha becomes very tight. Of course, not really prem, but it's lust or whatever. I mean, lust sambandha. So now that take that same operating principle and apply it to transcendence. It's you. And of course, we don't have our body yet. We have a material body, or a body of a sevak. This is our sadhaka rup. It's called sadhaka rup. Then there's siddha rup. So this is our sadhaka rup. So in order to establish a relation sambandha, we have to have knowledge. That's why there's so many scriptures given. So many books are given. And every time the Lord comes, He comes as a teacher. Krishna teaches, Narayan teaches, everyone teaches. Everyone speaks and gives teachings. Fifth canto, Ananta Shesha is speaking. Everywhere the Lord is speaking and teaching. Who? Us. Why? To give us sambandha gyan. Why? How? Because if we have knowledge, then we can develop love. As I said, how can you love someone you don't know? So love is based on knowledge. You follow? Someone says, oh, love is just a feeling. It's just you feel good. You know, okay, you know, what's all this knowledge about God? I mean, God's in your heart. You just feel Him, man, like I feel God. It's just a feeling. You don't need, what's all this shastra and shlokas? That's all for you pundits, you know. I don't like to study, man. I feel, you know. And I feel, and I especially feel good after, yeah. Take a little chillum and I feel real good. Little charis. I can have divine communion with the Lord. So this is all bogus. This is all imagination. This is all swapna. Prabhupada said numerous times, Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is for the intelligent. If you really want to get the fullest development. But then Prabhupada said, of course, if you're simple, you can take prasad and chant Hare Krishna. But not that's the easy way out. Because if you see Krishna's own words in the primal book of spiritual knowledge, the primal book is the ABCs, Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, he is very dear to me, who worships this sacred conversation with his intelligence. He wants us to worship this book, Bhagavad Gita, with our intelligence. And no one's more dear to me than the preacher. So you can't preach. Preach means teach. You can't teach someone unless you have something to teach. That means you have to have knowledge. It means you have to study. And Lord Chaitanya, all of his followers are teachers. He doesn't have any puggles. There's no puggle babas. Puggle babas, if you want puggle babas, you have to go to Bunky Bihari. There's some guy that sings, you know, Bunky Bihari, puggle baba. Rasik Puggle. His name is Rasik Puggle. He's a great singer. Sings songs about Bunky Bihari. He's a good singer, but his name is Rasik Puggle. I met him. He wanders around Vrindavan. He's a great saint, actually. But in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, was Rai Ramananda a puggle? Was Sarvabhauma a puggle? Was Rupa Goswami a puggle? Was Jiva Goswami a puggle? Bhakti Sananda a puggle? Bhakti Sananda a puggle? We don't find any nutcases over here. If you want nutcases, you have to become a Christian. Christian, there's so many nutcases, you know. Oh, last night I was talking to God, you know. I was talking to Jesus last night and he told me that hamburgers are good. And then last week, I had a darshan of God, and he said hot dogs are good too. Oh, really? Yeah, I have sporties all the time. Especially after I drink a bottle of whiskey. So Christians, they're very highly realized in the mode of ignorance. I speak from experience. It takes one to know one. I was a so-called quote-unquote Christian, so I'm not speaking through my hat. You're basically Hindus, born in Hindu culture, but I'm like a convert. I was preached to by Hindus. I became converted to Hindu Dharma. So these are prayers to recite before chanting japa. Because these prayers establish our sambandha. Because our sambandha is based on seva. Our sambandha is that Krishna, you are great, Vibhu. And I am very small, Anu. I am Anu Chaitanya. You're Vibhu Chaitanya. I'm a very tiny, insignificant living force. Anu Chaitanya. You're Vibhu Chaitanya. You're great, large, all-pervading, massive, omnipotent. And so the natural relationship of the small is to be dependent on the large. The weak to be protected by the strong. So I'm taking shelter of you. It's the nature. It's natural. And therefore, our relationship is one that you are my master, you are my provider, and you are my controller, and I am your servant. I am simply your servant. This is my relationship. That much I know. This is the beginning of sambandha. The relationship is based on this basic knowledge that you are great and I am small. You are the Lord and you are infinite. And my relationship and my duty is to serve you. Let me serve you. How can I serve you? Kim karomi. I am your kinkar. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram. So these prayers are along that line, and they're coming directly from the lotus mouth of Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga Mukh. Reciting the following prayers before chanting japa will purify the mind, create a feeling of humility, and establish the mood of seva, seva bhav in the heart, which is the basis of sambandha. Because relationships, any kind of relationship with somebody is a relationship of love, friendly love, parental love, or conjugal love. And in any one of those given relationships, or sambandhas, there is some service rendered. There's always service there, giving and taking. That means giving service and taking service. Action, interaction. So the same thing with God. So we establish this seva bhav. This is our sambandha. Meditate deeply on the meaning of these important prayers and try to memorize them. One can maintain the proper mood of humility during japa by remembering the meaning of these prayers while chanting Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, you can see in Madhya Lila, chapter 13, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe 13, before the Rathyatra parade, Lord Chaitanya would come out in front of Jagannath and he offered dandavats, and because he was seeing Lord Jagannath as Brijendranandan Shamsundar, and as if Lord Krishna was in the mood of Mahabhav, crying for Radharani. And then Krishna himself, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, is Radharani crying for Krishna in her own Mahabhav. So he would offer dandavats to Lord Jagannath, then he would stand with folded hands before the beginning of the parade, and he would recite, I think, four prayers. This was one prayer, this prayer that we're going to recite. Then he would recite a second prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha, Jagat Hitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Then a third prayer he would recite in the Aryan language, Parimu. It's called Parimu and Saita Prananath or something. It's in a kind of a dialect of Aryan dialect. Saita Parana. It's there also in Madhya Lila. And the fourth prayer he would recite was a shloka, a stuti from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto. It was about Jananivas. This phrase, this long verse, I think it's in chapter 87 or maybe chapter 90, I think, last chapter. It's about Jananivas. You are the residing in all the living entities. The phrase there is Jananivas or Jananivas. So these four prayers, but this prayer that emanated from the mouth of Lord Chaitanya, and this prayer is also, you'll see, in the ISKCON Deity Worship Book, that before one begins puja of any deity, he's supposed to meditate, recite this prayer, meditate deeply before beginning puja, because this establishes the sambandha, that you are going to worship this deity of Gauranga, or Gornitai, or Radha Parthasarathi, Radha Shamsundar, or Radha Govinda. So who are you? You are their servant. You think, oh, I'm a big Brahmin. I am the pujari. You see, the pujaris get so much hankar, which is the antithesis of bhakti. It's the antithesis of humility, hankar. It's the enemy of humility, hankar. It's the enemy of prem. But they get, unfortunately, they get so much. I am Krishna Balaram's pujari. You cannot offer arti without my stamp of approval. I am Radha Shamasundar's pujari. Acha? My dear boy, I took Brahman Diksha before you were born. From the founder of this movement. So please step aside. Because I've had people say that to me in Vrindavan. I said, really? How old are you? 20? Acha, very nice. But so much hankar they have. It's very funny to see. It's very hard to keep from laughing. You keep a straight face and set them straight and do the puja. But this often creeps in, hankar. I mean, it doesn't creep in, it's always there. It just flares up at different instances. It's the ever-present part of our life, false ego. But this prayer is meant to tone it down, keep it down, tame it, tame the wild tiger of false ego, especially before we do puja. At the moment before we do puja, we should think, I'm not a Brahmin. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not anything. What am I? Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor? Das, das, ano, das, ano, das. 1,000 times removed. Servant of the servant, downline. I'm a downline servant of the downline servant of the downline servant. The idea is that we don't have any real position. Our position is at the feet of Krishna. I'm not anybody. I'm not anybody's anybody. I'm not Krishna Balaram. Do you know I'm Krishna Balaram's pujari? Oh, well, excuse me. Yeah. Go right ahead. You know. This is not Gaudiya Vaishnavism. I'm nobody. I'm so fortunate that my guru has allowed me to offer arti today. Maybe tomorrow he takes my thread away, or he should take it away if I have this kind of a hankar. Because I'm not a Brahmin. A Brahmin is humble. You're disqualified. You've lost the adhikar for puja. You're not qualified. And when such pujaris do puja, and everything becomes alta, viparita. So this is a very nice prayer, and it was impressed upon us when we first joined that this was something we had to memorize. And you practice it. It's a little bit of a long one, but you can get it. Anyone knows this prayer? Some people know. I'm surprised that more don't know it, but it was very much part of the memorized shlokas in the beginning of ISKCON. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishyam na shudro naham varni nacha griha patir nova nashto yatirva kentu prodyan nikala paramananda por nabritabder. But everyone usually already, you know, one line. Gopi bartu padakamalayor das das anadas. That's good, we know the line. But do we walk the talk? Do we walk our talk? That may take lifetimes, at least for me, let's put it that way. But we should also, the first lines are also good. In other words, neti neti. This prayer is all about neti neti. I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. But I am something, I'm not nothing. I'm not shunyavad, I'm something. Not very much, but I'm something. And that something is all I need. All I need is to have some connection with Krishna, some Krishna connection. And the only connection I want is to be a servant of the servant of the servants. Give me service, give me service, give me service. We don't want to, we feel that if I'm sitting down, not doing anything, I feel very guilty. We should feel very guilty. We should never think, well, I have nothing to do. Like karmis, when they have a day off, they go crazy. Oh, there's nothing to do today. There's no work today. It's Sunday. What am I going to do today? Well, I guess I'll start off with sleeping. That's pretty productive. That's very productive, that's very beneficial for the world, and very beneficial for me. It's really helping a lot of other people, and especially helping me. So I should sleep 12 hours today. So I'll start that way and work it up from there. So a devotee never wants to be idle. Never wants to be idle. An idle brain is Maya's workshop. Right? So the devotee is always anxious. Service, service, service. And if we're actually chanting the Hare Krishna mantra properly, it comes automatically. It's automatic pilot. If we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with proper swabhav, proper mood and abhiman, then as soon as we finish 16 rounds or whatever rounds we're chanting, 32 or whatever, and we put the beads aside and we read or cook or everywhere, we'll just see service everywhere. The whole world will be full of service. Of course, we have our specific designated services, and first of all, in the context of those designated guru-given services, guru agya, we will see so many nuances and so many improvements and so many expansions and different levels to improve that very service by good chanting. Oh, and then we finish around. Oh, my service is giving this class. Oh, but I could do this. Oh, I can bring a computer. I can make this show. I can do this. And so many ideas will come from Super Soul to expand your service. So that even the one service you have, you'll be thinking how to expand it, improve it, include more, somehow improve it. And then in addition to that, other services will come. Oh, I can do this, I can do that. This is what's always amazing to me. Sometimes you see a group of new people and they come together somewhere in ashram and they just sit there. They wait to be entertained. They wait for the guru to come and stand on his head and juggle oranges and, you know, do some kind of entertainment. They just sit there. They have nothing to do. And they can't see anything to be done. They just sit there. They bought the ticket at the door. They paid a rupee. They came in and sat down for the circus show. And they're waiting for the guru to perform the circus. You know, jump through the hoop, you know, and balance, you know, a ball on his nose and do a nice circus show. And then they'll clap and go home. Say Jai Guru Dev. But this isn't exactly what is known as a shishya. This is like a circus act. So I know in front of Prabhupada, no one ever sat down. Everyone was moving, moving, moving. Because this is the Krishna consciousness movement. Movement means moving. Keep it moving. Like the police say, keep moving, keep moving. Keep moving. Hey, move out, move out. Stop talking to that girl. Get on your motorcycle and go. He pulls his motorcycle over. Hey, excuse me. Where are you from? Hey, get on your motorcycle. Get going. So we have to keep moving. If you're moving and doing something for Krishna Guru, then you know you're progressing. As soon as you're not moving, you're going backwards. Simple. This ISKCON is a place for passionate people. We want passionate people here. We don't want any tamagunis. Tamagunis, they can go somewhere else. You know, you want to loaf around, hang around, goof around. Prabhupada said passion is much better than ignorance. So be passionate for Krishna. Passionate, because passion will bring you to Krishna. Because you'll do something for Krishna. You'll do something. Do something. Don't just sit there and do nothing.